We are proud to partner with MyFlex Learning. MyFlex Learning is a scheduling platform that helps middle and high schools meet the individual needs of all students. Students can easily create and manage time for flex blocks, wind time, activity periods, RTI, counselor and teacher appointments, and so much more. Even my favorite, synergy time. And with its built-in accountability tool and reporting features, MyFlex Learning solves your challenges around getting kids where they need to be and understanding how flex time is spent. Make flex time work for you. Visit myflexlearning.com/BE to learn more and receive $500 off your first year. That's myflexlearning.com/BE. This B Podcast Network show is presented by IXL. IXL's all-inclusive online teaching and learning platform simplifies edtech needs and accelerates achievement in 95 of the top 100 U.S. school districts. IXL delivers personalized learning across a comprehensive pre-K-12 curriculum, including math, language arts, science, and social studies, and helps you assess student performance through actionable, real-time insights at every level of your school or district. This one solution performs work that typically requires dozens of tools. Want to find out why so many leading districts trust IXL? Visit IXL.com/BE. That's IXL.com/BE.
Welcome to Transformative Principle, where I help you stop putting out fires and start leading. I'm your host, Jethro Jones. You can follow me on Twitter at Jethro Jones. Welcome to Transformative Principle, a proud member of the B Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jethro Jones, and excited to have on the program today, Paul Thiessen. He is a passionate educator who is committed to providing students with a high-quality education. He's a strong advocate for STEM education and believes that it is essential for students to be prepared for the 21st century workforce. Paul is a 25-year veteran of the education field. He holds a Bachelor's of Arts from Waynesburg University in Southwest Pennsylvania, which he earned in 1999. Thiessen began his career as a third-grade teacher at Rachel Carson Elementary in Gaithersburg, Maryland, where he taught for 3 years as part of Montgomery County Public Schools. And in 2002, he moved to Loudoun County, Virginia, where he opened Hutchinson Farm Elementary as a third grade teacher. He later served as the elementary dean for LCPS at Hutchinson Farm Elementary, which was his first administrator role. In 2008, he opened Liberty Elementary in South Riding, Virginia as assistant principal. He was part of the team that started the STEM work at that school. In 2018, the school was named National STEM School of the Year. In 2012, Thiessen became principal of Pine Brook Elementary in Aldi, Virginia, where they had become a personalized learning school. And Paul, welcome to Transformative Principles. So glad to have you.
Jethro, it's great to be here. I couldn't be more excited for this conversation. I've been looking forward to it quite a bit.
Yeah, and I'm very excited about our conversation. What is your big takeaway from our conversation today?
I know that there are a lot of passionate educators out there, and I appreciate people who are on the forefront of changing education, like we've talked about in conversations past. And I just want to be part of the group of people that are creating change, moving education forward, and a little bit as we can, that's the most important thing, because I think it's the right thing for kids.
Absolutely. I really liked our conversation about AI and personalized learning and how different ways that can tie into it. And I think that that is, that's a really powerful thing that is coming down the pike that we don't even understand yet. I'm pretty excited about where it's heading. You sparked some good ideas in the conversation today. So we're going to get to my interview with Paul here in just a moment.
If you've been listening to Transformative Principle for any amount of time, you know that I have a love-hate relationship with EdTech. We have the ability to personalize learning for every single one of our students, and yet so many of our EdTech tools fall short. We need our technology to do more for us. That's why it's so important for me to know that IXL provides true personalized learning across the entire pre-K-12 curriculum, and that it's proven to benefit all student populations, including English language learners and students in special ed programs. As a principal, I've used this in my school. As a parent, I've had my children use it as well. And let me tell you, this is a tool that definitely helps students learn and practice better. IXL is research proven to accelerate achievement. Studies across 45 states show that IXL schools outperform non-IXL schools on state assessments, and independent research from Johns Hopkins University verifies that IXL meets ESSA Tier 1 standards. With those results combined with IXL's teacher-friendly reputation, what more could you ask for? Now, you also know that I don't care so much about test scores, but I know that they are legislatively convenient and something that we have to deal with and manage on a day-to-day basis. If you can implement something that is easy and effective, why wouldn't you do it? If you have a goal to increase achievement for all students, make sure to find out what IXL can do for you. Visit IXL.com/B for a demo. That's IXL.com/BE.
So Paul, where I want to start is you do this podcast for your school. Tell us about the podcast, what that looks like, and what your goal with it is.
So the podcast was really the idea generated from another podcast that's really well known, I believe, called The Daily. And what I really loved about that The Daily from the New York Times is, and I've listened to 100 more episodes, is that it takes one topic, but it makes it very insightful in a condensed amount of time. And so the vision was to create that same level of insight for our community about education or about our school or about a relevant topic, you know, something to do with our community and education together. So that was the purpose, and we've been able to accomplish that so far. I've either talked about an event at our school, like we did an episode about Purple Up, where we celebrated our veterans and our veteran military families. We've also given insight to a topic such as science of reading, which is a huge thing inside at least our district right now, as we move away from, you know, the more whole language type of instruction for reading and go to more of a phonics set based. And we've even talked about attendance, which has been, I think nationwide since COVID has been kind of a problem. So we ended up having a great conversation. And what I liked about that episode was we did the dynamic of, you know, from the district level about what happens whenever students are coming to school, and from the teacher level about what the impact is on the classroom and how much teachers prepare for students each day and how much thinking goes in for each individual child, and brought that to light into the episode so the parents could have an opportunity to see, like, hey, coming to school, you know, it's not just like missing a day and you're just missing a few assignments. No, this is somebody thinking about your child every single day and planning for them. And if they're not there, they've missed out on an opportunity of somebody taking real time to want their child to be successful. And that was the goal so far. And like I said, I think we've been able to accomplish that pretty well so far on a variety of topics. I did an episode recently that I'm really excited about. I think I told you when we talked at the conference, Jethro, about this sort of a teacher who's just beginning, teacher who's in the middle of her career, teacher at the, you know, sort of the end of her career, and just had this conversation between the three of them about their perception of education, what they have found to be certain truths about education, what they want for the future of education, and what they've really learned about how to work inside a school. And it was really insightful. And there was a lot of energy within the three of them, and they had this magnetic relationship of, yeah, I get that. And then, the teacher who was veteran was like, boy, it's fun to have those, to think about those thoughts I had when I was a young teacher. Or, you know, or the wisdom that was coming forth from the veteran teachers, you know, to the new one. And the dynamic was special and insightful about what was being offered. So yes. Had a lot of fun with it so far.
So Paul, this podcast is focused on your community, not other educators, not people outside of your school, though I'm sure some of it is applicable, but really you're trying to connect with your community, the parents and community members that live within your boundaries. Why did you take that focused approach and why a podcast for that specific approach?
That's a great question. And I think I was, maybe it's because of my own fascination about the power of how much I've appreciated podcasts was why that came into my first thought. I had lots of other avenues of really going forth with this, with trying to relate to my community. One of those was about having parent coffees, and we did those in person. And that was marginally successful. I would get 20, maybe 30 people to show up out of a 900 student school. And then I started going into parent coffees, but video calls. And it started off with a bang. And then eventually it got to be about 20 or 30 people would show up to that as well. Now, maybe it's just me. I'm not that interesting. But what I felt like is that with the podcast, it gave a ton more flexibility. I could, you know, have a message, gain a topic from the community, and I do put out a survey. Hey, we do this podcast. What would you like to hear about? And parents sometimes give some ideas, and we've used some of those ideas. We have plans for some of those ideas as well. But at least for this, it got me, gave me an avenue of sending out the message, talking about what we wanted to talk about, and parents could really, you know, zip through it, start it, stop it, really have it at their leisure in their own time. And we just keep reminding them that it's available, usually through our newsletter or on the website.
So one of the things that I really like about this idea is, and this will lead into our next conversation. So there's something else you want to say about the podcast before we go on, then let's make sure we do that. But what I really like about it is that it's taking the content that you're creating, and instead of saying, if you want to hear from the principal, you have to come to this parent coffee, or you have to join this Zoom call at this specific time, or you have to come into the school, it says, I want to make sure everybody can hear about this, and here's a way to do it. And it's out there. So if you don't know about it, or you don't know what's going on, I've made it available for you and easy to digest, and want to make sure that it's there. I think that's just incredibly powerful. Anything else you want to say about the podcast before I tie in the next point?
No, you were on point with that. And I've been watching the analytics, and you know, it's been growing episode by episode. And I'm not talking leaps and bounds, but it's resonating with certain folk. And as long as we keep putting it out, like you said, you know, I'm making it available on their time. Lives are quite complicated and quite busy with the ton of schedules. And we're talking about parents, and parents usually have one or multiple kids with multiple activities outside of school. And you're right, like giving them some flexibility there so they can hear the message, I think is a great way to frame it.
Yeah. And there was this magic time a few years ago when lots of people had blogs and lots of people were writing blogs, and you could have one place. Most people used Google Reader, but there are still lots of other tools out there that catch RSS feeds and bring them in. And it is amazing and so powerful what you can get when everything is coming to you rather than you having to go out and find it everywhere else. And that is the beauty of podcasting, is that you can have, you know, it doesn't matter what kind of podcast you like to listen to. If your school is doing one, you can subscribe to it and listen to it in the same place that you listen to everything else. And that is really awesome. I just think that is incredibly cool. And I'm so glad that you're doing it in this way so that people can experience it. Now, let us know the name of the podcast so that we can go check it out and see how you're implementing this.
Oh, yes, of course. It is the Puma Pod, P-A-W-D. If you're in our community, you know that our school newsletter is the Puma Paw. So this just happened to naturally work very well, being the PAWD. So the Puma Pod cast.
Yeah.
And
I love it. And the album artwork, I think, is incredible also. Is that your actual logo?
So it's funny. It's hysterical. I'm so happy you talked about the logo. I'll have to tell our assistant principal who created it exactly what you said. It's a modification of our school logo. In the middle, instead of being a puma, we put the school logo has just a P, but she put, of course, the puma in there with the headphones, and then changed the paws that were on inside the blue circle to be a microphone. And she will be delighted to know that you pointed it out.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. I love it. So really good stuff, and definitely a model I think people could listen to. And like when you're looking at downloads and who's listening to it, you're not doing this for everybody outside of your community, but it's out there and it's available so that people can learn from it. But really, this is for your community. So you got 900 students. Like, you don't need this to be huge. You need as many people within your community to listen to it as possible so that they're aware of what's going on. And that in and of itself is incredibly powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I know that a lot of times schools have tight budgets. So we, after we got into a little bit of a rhythm with this, we decided to apply for a grant. And I'm happy to report that we received the funding. And so we are actually going to get a whole new microphone set for several different people. And then a recording station, different, you know, other accoutrements to be able to actually create more of a studio rather than the principal putting a microphone in the middle of a table and having the teachers all sort of talk back and forth, which audio isn't as great in that scenario. But it's exciting to be able to kind of get an upgrade. And we did it with a grant, which is even better.
Yeah.
An education grant, no less.
And if you're not using Descript to do that, definitely check out Descript, because that is the tool that I use, and it's incredibly powerful for all kinds of things that it's just amazing.
Thanks for the tip.
Yeah. My main editor, who is my daughter, she's been editing for me for 3 years, and she was talking to me last night, and she was like, man, I just cannot believe how much time I have saved by using Descript instead of GarageBand, which is what we used to use. And it just has made a huge difference, because it's so much easier to edit in that than it is in anything else. So
let's talk about flex time in schools. If you've been listening for a long time, you know how important I think this is. It gives us more time for personalized learning, increasing choice and agency for students, and the increased enrollment that comes with it, dedicated time for intervention and enrichment. And overall, as school leaders, it gives us and our faculty more tools to increase academic achievement. But the implementation and management of flex time can be so tough. Tricky logistics and a lack of clear accountability systems can prevent teachers from buying in and can hold us back from ensuring students make good use of their time. I'm pleased to share that MyFlex Learning provides a solution to these challenges and more. MyFlex Learning helps you create and manage flexible time for any purpose. And with seamless SIS integration, a student locator, flexible daily rostering, and an intuitive mobile app, it eliminates the common challenges of implementation and management. Want to see for yourself? Visit myflexlearning.com/B to learn more about it and receive $500 off the first year of use. That's myflexlearning.com/BE.
Let's move on to our next topic, which is talking about personalizing learning for our students. And the reason why this connects to the podcast is that you are personalizing communication for your parents by giving them a podcast that they can listen to and making it available to them in whatever place or format or whatever that they're in. The beautiful thing about Descript, for example, is that it will auto transcribe everything that's in there so that you don't have to, you can have all that text there and somebody could read it rather than just listen to it, and they can have access to all those, to the transcript on all of your episodes very easily. And it makes it really, really powerful. So that being said, like, let's talk about the things that you're doing with personalizing learning for the students at your school. And then just give us a brief overview of the kinds of things that you're focusing on.
Sure, absolutely. The personalized learning program that we use, and I don't know if I mentioned this or not, so feel free to edit it, but we started with Education Elements, a company based out of California, and maybe that's the common idea for this program. But we used that as the model, and it was something that we did countywide. And that's how I came to learn of this program. But what I love about it is when principals sometimes go ahead and begin to talk about new initiatives within the schools, teachers a lot of times are, they want something. They want to know, is it really going to be helping me in the classroom, or am we just doing this because I'm being asked to do this? And once I framed out like what this was about, I went to the staff and said, okay, who's in? And a lot of times I'll get a good handful of go-getters, but I couldn't believe it that out of 40 classroom teachers, I got 32 immediately wanting to try it. And I knew that we had something that really connected who we are as a school of instructors, as a group of instructors, really connected with a program that they love. And something, and boy, that was just a powerful moment.
I can just interject real quick, because please. I have interviewed many people from Education Elements and worked for them and with them myself.
And no idea. Okay, of course. Yeah.
So I put a link in the show notes to a bunch of podcasts I've done with Education Elements. And so one of the important things to note is that you didn't buy a program when you worked with Education Elements. You bought a philosophy and an approach to doing things. And I think that this is so key, because it takes a lot of the pressure off of this idea of implementing with fidelity, right? And how,
totally.
Like, if you buy some reading program and you don't implement it with fidelity, then you are basically said, well, it's not going to work. And this is the exact opposite of how it works with personalized learning, because the fidelity part is that you adapt it and adjust it to work for you, not just adopt what somebody else did and say, this is going to work for me now as well, because it doesn't really work that way. That's the beauty of it, is that it's actually personalized to the people that you're doing. So if somebody says something like, hey, we're doing personalized learning and it has to look like this, they're already missing the boat, because that's not actually what it's about, right? And that's where you have those high rates of teachers who want to be part of it, because they realize that they get to do things in a way that works for them and for their students. And that's the priority. The priority is not following a program. So anyway, go on.
I had no idea that you had that kind of experience with Education Elements. And I don't know. And but that is 100% like how we've seen it as well. And we found it to be the same. And as we've implemented it, some grade levels have, of course, done the must-do, may-do lists. And some of them are at a place where they are just getting student goals, such as my kindergarten team had such a head-scratching moment to be able to really understand, how do you personalize learning for 5-year-olds who are just getting into school at all? And you know what? It was about mindset. The ones who found a solution to that problem were the ones who had an open idea to be able to get to a solution. And boy, isn't that the truth of almost anything, about being a mindset to be able to accomplish that goal? And I love the fact that I can tell you that our kindergarten team found a way to get personalized learning in terms of student goal setting and even voice and choice into their classroom instruction with 5-year-olds who are the newest of learners inside of an education, spectrum.
And Paul, what is so amazing about that is that kindergartners may be the newest learners to the system, but they are the most intense learners that we have. because everything is new to someone from birth to 5 years old, and their development is huge during that time. They, I would argue, are the experts in learning, even if they can't articulate it, because everything is new to them. And that is incredibly powerful also. So they're ready for it.
100% true. And it was a matter of the teacher having the open mind about matching where they are as learners to what some of these ideas were with educational elements and personalized learning. And again, if you had those two things come together in the right way, I was just so ecstatic. But I'm also ecstatic about the other end of the spectrum with our upper grade levels, 3, 4, and 5. They have a good selection of teachers who are using pre-assessments to be able to have students then take their own score from that pre-assessment, find where on a large chart the learner is on the spectrum of that concept, actually put a little mark on where they are on the learning, right? Either you're pre-emergent, emergent, developing, advanced, and putting their dot there on their own sheet, and then starting a series of activities that really mark on their level. And it gives an easy way for teachers to then understand where students understand for their own abilities. It helps students understand exactly where a piece of information is, data that's relevant to them, not just a number that they may see on a paper. And it helps us teachers to really track, has everybody progressed to a standard, or if not further, before they start moving on and introducing new concepts to other students heading down the curriculum. So it's just been a remarkable experience. And the teachers that have fully bought into this philosophy, to use the word that I think you're adequately, certainly expertly describing, has absolutely transformed their classrooms and the learning spaces that they have of kids doing some work on paper, some do work on the computer, some work in groups, some were just working specifically with a teacher, all happening at the same time. And everybody is absolutely engaged. And it's just a beautiful learning space. And it's just a joy to see.
Yeah, that's very cool. And having experienced that myself as a teacher and as a principal, I know exactly what you're talking about. And here's where it gets really cool, because the only people in the building who care about the standards are the teachers, right? The kids don't care at all. And if they never knew what the standards were, their lives would be no different, except in this one very key area. And this is what I think is so incredibly powerful about personalizing learning for individual students. If they believe that, let's take addition, for example, if your standard is that the kid can do single digit addition up to the number 20, you know, so everything up to 10 plus 10. If that's your standard, once a student sees that, then they say, okay, I've finished that, I've learned that. Then they don't naturally ask, what's the next standard? You know, double digit addition up to 100, for example. They say, I'm done. I've done what the teacher has asked, and they stop. Now, what's powerful is that when the kids don't know what the standard is, they have different approaches to that same problem. And instead of saying, I need to learn what, you know, 10 plus 10 is to get to 20, they start saying, what is 13 times 15? And they start asking these questions that they don't even know they shouldn't be asking yet, because they don't understand the concept yet. That's what's so beautiful. And that's what you'll start to see as you go further down this path. Is that kids start way exceeding the standards that they should be at a particular grade level. So just as a quick story, and I put a link in the show notes to the Synergy podcast episodes that I did with my students at my school, because these kids they were middle school students, and they were doing standards that were at high school level. And some of them were even doing standards that we don't even have standards for, like how to fire someone from your team in a way that is compassionate and loving. Oh my goodness, Paul. It's just incredible. But those are the kinds of skills that kids learn when this personalized learning stuff is happening, and happening in an effective way. So if you've been listening to my podcast for a long time, you know that I can get on a soapbox about this. So I'm going to try not to, but let's move this in another direction. And let's talk about how AI can help with personalized learning. Because when you and I met, it was at a conference where I was speaking about AI with the Virginia Principals Association. And right. So talk to us about what your perception is and what you think about AI and how it can help with this idea of personalizing learning.
The thing about AI, and I've, you know, like most people, aside from someone like yourself or the a lot of people you mentioned who are well far in advance in terms of understanding this in education, I am fairly new to this idea. And my insight so far has been that this is a tool. It is not a tool to be afraid of. This is a tool to embrace. And my perception is that at one point in time, this will be just as common as the calculator or just as common as maybe a pencil or a pen. And certainly just as common as now a Chromebook for students sitting in a classroom. It is the next level. And the idea of having a tool that can create, or you can ask a question and you get an in-depth answer that is based, of course, upon a mountain of research about that specific topic, gives confidence to the accuracy and thus able to help the student understand, take that information and understand it well enough for whatever it is that they're learning. It's simply having a person beside you who can ask a question to, and they give you the answer as you're still learning from the teacher in front of you. Like, I don't see how this will replace the teacher in any way. But what I believe it does is it gives, if there is a child that has a unique idea about this or a specific question that they are not understanding about a concept, this tool can give a quick and in-depth answer about that thing almost immediately, where they can then carry on with the learning that's in front of them. And that's how I see, or at least in one way, these two areas of personalized learning and this tool can mesh together. It's better than Google in terms of actually instructing, because the answer is more complete, more specific, more relevant. You're not just searching through about what might work. No. This is information that's right in front of you that's very real and can help create clarity amongst the students' understanding to then actually continue on with their assignment.
Yeah. And in that, they still need to have critical thinking to determine whether or not it's giving good information and if it makes sense and fits into the larger schema that they have and whether or not it makes sense. And I think that there are other areas where it adds a lot of power as well. So we're talking about, you know, only the adults care about the standards. One thing that I think there's great potential for is having the AI note when kids have achieved certain standards and providing that evidence so that the teacher essentially doesn't ever have to grade again. And grading is one of the worst things in the world that even exists. All grades are made up to begin with. And so when a teacher needs to go and give a grade, if she's not doing standards-based grading, and even sometimes when she is doing standards-based grading, she's still basically making up whether or not something is right. And that's at the very basic level. So that's really challenging for a teacher to have to use all that mental power to go do that when the AI could potentially have the power to note when a student has achieved a certain standard and provide evidence that the student has actually achieved it, regardless of what content area they may be in. So if a student is doing something in science class and uses double-digit addition up to 100 repeatedly, then the AI can say, hey, here's the evidence that this kid is getting this particular standard, and can go ahead and mark that standard off so that the kid can move on in their math class without the math teacher ever even seeing that they could do that, other than the AI saying, here's this piece here. What do you think about that, Paul?
I think that's another dynamic that AI can would be benefited, or education would be benefited from this entire tool. And these are ideas that, you know, you've thought of or been around. Maybe I've thought of and been around. Like, there is so much more that we haven't been able to grasp our mind about how this can actually connect. And I think as many ideas that can be start to generate, or many uses that can be put into place, I think is the right way to go. This is not something to shy away from or at all. This is something to completely take a hold of and bring into our system as soon as possible.
Yeah.
At least that's my take. And I don't know if my district would love that I've said that, but that's how I feel.
Yeah, there's some reality to that also, because a lot of districts are quite afraid of it. And that's one, that's understandable. We don't know exactly what it means and what it can do yet. I totally get that. But at the same time, there's a lot of potential for it to do some really amazing things and make things a lot easier for everybody who's involved. And those are the kinds of things that we should be embracing with open arms.
And can I add another element to that?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, let me add the other element is that it's not, you know, in all these cases, it's never going to be getting the students on board. It's always getting the adults and having the teachers kind of open mind to learn about these new ideas and new tools. And that's been always an area that's just been muddy water, depending upon how this goes. And like I referenced earlier about like personalized learning, implementation of that philosophy was certainly a huge success in our building. But that has not been the experience about other programs or other situations, you know, bringing to my staff. It's hard to get people who work so hard and to develop a program that they know is strong and they know that is working well, to then shift and mold to something that's clearly unknown and clearly unsure. I mean, I know you know of the famous research model where it's certainly determined that the item that is unknown always creates more anxiety than the moment that is known. In this particular case, it was about electric shock, where the people, the control group or the group that was, you know, ended up not knowing whether or not they were going to be shocked had a much higher anxiety level than the group who absolutely knew they were going to be shocked. That is so true in so many areas, and education is a great example of that. The unknown for the new tool or new idea is way more concerning. And it would be the challenge, I think, of school administrators and teachers more specifically, to be able to find a way to move, to realize that this is where future is coming. And the longer we push it off, the less connected we're going to be with our kids. And the idea of connecting this content and the language of the learning to the learner's language is most powerful. And so as an administrator thinking about moving forward, it would be, how do I help my teachers understand the usefulness and the power in this particular tool? And so I'm going to spend a lot of time thinking about so that I can make it the most as we can, even in the elementary level.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. I love it. So I think that's a great place to end our conversation. I feel like we could go on for hours talking about this stuff, and I think we will in the future. But my last question for you, Paul, is what is one thing that a principal can do this week to be a transformative principal like you?
And this is one of the hardest things, but I focus on it like crazy. But if you haven't been able to get into the classrooms lately, get into the classrooms. You are energized by being in that room and seeing the learners and seeing the dynamic that at play. And it's a simple thing. It's a hard thing to get out of that, all the stuff that clogs up your day, but God bless it. And I'm sorry I don't have anything more spectacular to be able to tell you in terms of inspiration, but I'm a guy who really goes back to basics and really tries to get the fundamentals right. And that is certainly something that I would push for my other administrators out there that if you haven't been in the classrooms this week, make sure you get in there. It'll energize you and it energizes the kids and inspires the teachers.
Awesome. Thank you. Paul, this has been great having you on the podcast. Thank you so much for being here. Appreciate all the to help move education forward.
Yeah, I tell you what, Jethro, you've been a real contributor to the education community. Really happy to be on this, and thank you for this opportunity. It's been a lot of fun talking with you.
Awesome. My pleasure.
Do you want to simplify your school's technology, save teachers time, improve students' performance on state assessments? You can do it all, but don't waste another minute. Head straight to ixl.com/BE to learn how IXL's research-proven teaching and learning platform can help you achieve all these goals. That's ixl.com/BE. There are lots of solutions out there for giving students what they need when they need it. But when do they actually do all of those things? You need flexible time. When added into your master schedule, flex time enables students to get extra help or intervention, meet with teachers, make up work, get physical exercise, and try new enrichment offerings. If you're thinking of giving it a try, check out MyFlex Learning, which unlocks the benefits of flexible time without all the headaches you get with it usually. Its intuitive design and SIS integration makes implementation and training a breeze. Make your flex time work for you. Visit myflexlearning.com/BE to learn more and receive $500 off your first year. That's myflexlearning.com/BE.